Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I'm going to speak to you tonight a message that I actually really feel is for this house. And I don't say that casually. It's not a message I've actually preached anywhere else. And I am going to speak to you tonight about something that I think is significant to the season that you're in as a church. I'll be as bold as to say that tonight. Because, you know, when you work in relationship with people that become close to you, God speaks to you about their specific situation. You become not just somebody passing through. You become kind of family. And so I want to deliver a message tonight into the heart and to the family of this church. And I want to talk to you tonight about your internal gearbox. Your internal gearbox as a church, as a family, as an individual. Because I don't know if you know that you have a gearbox inside you spiritually. Now, I know I'm in the land where you don't have gearboxes. Okay, I am married to an American and he only thought cars came with automatic. He didn't know there was such a thing as an old-fashioned gear shift. Okay, but in England, you don't have the option to learn how to drive in an automatic. You have to learn how to drive with a stick shift. You have to do the hard yards to earn that license. You can't just show up and put it in D. Hello? My five-year-old could do that. Put it in D and just cruise around. No, you actually have to drive. You actually have to use a stick shift and move it from one gear to the next. And I think sometimes in life, and I think in Christianity and sometimes in church, we preach to people as if converting to Christ is going from stick shift to automatic. That when you get saved, somehow God will give you an automatic and you don't have to change gears anymore. And it's all going to be smooth and you're just going to go to Jesus and he's just going to show you the D button and off you go. Well, newsflash, has anyone else discovered in here that it doesn't quite work that way? That when you come to Christ, actually, I think a truer thing would be to say that you go from automatic to stick shift. And God goes, no, you were cruising in a sinful life. You were cruising with no conscience. You were cruising with no care for anybody else. You were just doing all your own thing whenever you wanted it. But I need to pull you off of autopilot. I need to pull you out of D and just go into destruction. And I'm going to teach you something about walking with me. I'm going to build a relationship with you that is different. And I found in my walk with God, and I found as a leader, the more I've led and the more I've gone forward in the things of God, that this stick shift in God is something I'm having to learn to navigate. I believe one of the greatest kind of lessons a leader has to learn of a group of people is how to change gears. Is how to know when it's time to change gear. How to know when it's time to go from first to second. From fourth to second. Learning what season we're in. And I believe I arrive at your church in a season where you are changing gears. You changed gears when you moved into this building. But I want you to know that if you didn't, you need to internally do something with your gearbox. Because just moving from one seat to another seat is not what this was about. This was not about just moving across a car park to a comfier chair. This was about a gear shift in the spirit for your future. And God needs us all internally to get our gears moved so that we're ready to go to the level that God has called us to be in. When I was learning to drive back in England, I struggled with the gearbox. It was my one weakness. To me, it was just an inconvenience. I was like, why do I have to, you know, put the clutch down, move the gear, the stick shift, move it up to the next one? Like, this is just annoying. I have to balance my feet, get the transition right. And I was one of those drivers that was more like a kangaroo. Because when you don't have a D and you use a stick shift, you have that minute in between of transition. And if you don't handle it well, you kind of move like this in your car. And I would be on the freeway like this with a lot of annoyed people behind me going, oh, woman driver. gears. They were inconvenient. They were a nuisance to me. And I just wanted to get to fifth because I realized that once I'm in fifth, I'm away to go. I can get in fifth and I can just go for it. I can cruise on. I just wanted to get to the cruising part. I just wanted to get where I could fly down the freeway. I wanted to get past all the stages. But you know, in life, there's no such thing as living your life in cruise control. If you were to get a car and put it into cruise control and say, well, there I go. That's me done. That's my Christianity. That's that way I am. I'm in cruise control now. Off I go. Eventually, there is no road that can sustain that kind of driving. In the natural, there's no road that you can permanently stay on cruise control in. Eventually, there's things called other cars. And they will cut in front of you. Or there's things called roadworks. Or there's things called diversions. All of which will require you to come out of cruise and slow down. All of which will require you to alter the way you're driving to navigate the obstacle you find in front of you. There's no such thing as a road in life that you don't have to come down in speed or change gear. If you stay in cruise control, you will have a head-on collision. And spiritually, I meet too many Christians who think that the goal is to get to cruise control level. I've got my wife, I've got my kids, I pay my offering. Sometimes I tithe. I'm good. I kind of got my life sorted to a level where it's all manageable. Got my church box. I serve a little bit. I think I'm good. And we've gone into cruise control. And it would be just like God to throw a road work in front of you. To say, whoa, 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 whoa. You need to realize that was never the idea. No, I've put inside you a gearbox. And it is there for a reason. And I want to help you find your internal stick shift tonight. Because I believe some of us have stalled. Some of us are about to have a head-on collision. Others of us don't like the fact that we keep being asked to change gear. I mean, you know, Pastor Dino, surely. You know, we all went into overdrive to get in the building. Granted, we all had to be busy. We all had to, you know, get it all together. We had to paint. We had to put chairs out. You know, okay. But you know what? We're here now. So, you know, let's just chill. Let's just cruise on through. Let me enjoy the seat I paid for. I mean, you know, I'm glad that there's a few people I don't know around here, but it's not my responsibility. Hello? They should be glad I bought them a chair. Yeah. You know, we've had enough change. Let's just cruise for a while. And God goes, I think so. You're going to have to find your internal gearbox. There's one inside of you, and you're going to have to learn how to change gears with the Holy Spirit. Because when I used to change gears, it used to kind of sound like this. And I am sure that sometimes in my own journey and in my own church, I've heard the same noise out of a congregation member. We're going to do another service. We're going to start earlier. We're going to host a conference. What is that noise? It's somebody grinding their gears. And when you grind gears, the thing you damage most is the engine of that vehicle. And spiritually, when you grind your gears, the thing you damage most is the engine of your life. Now, I am a girl, granted, and I'm not very mechanically minded. So, boys, bear with me for a second. But seeing as I'm British and we drive stick shifts, I reckon I've got the upper hand already. I did a little bit of research about the purpose of gears because I'm like, Lord, you know, I want to know what is the point. And you know, the gears in your car and the changing of gears, they work through the balance of two elements, force and speed. You're balancing with your gears, with your stick shifting, force and speed. And in our walk with God, God is asking us to balance in our leadership, in our mentoring, in our serving, and our involving force. How much force do we apply? How much control? How much involvement? How much do we put the pressure up? And speed. How fast do we go? How hard do we drive? How quick do we pursue? When do we pull back? When do we accelerate? When do we slow down? And your gears are different balances of force and speed. So in a car, the basic purpose of the different gears is so. First gear is for startup mode. And startup mode in your car requires most force and least speed. Requires a lot of power, a lot of input, a lot of emphasis, but not too much speed because we're trying to get this thing moving. We're trying to get this thing fired up. We're trying to get the engine going. We need ignition. Second gear in your vehicle is a smaller amount of power, a little bit more speed, and second gear in the stick shift is for maneuvering. A little bit more speed, little less control, and it's for maneuvering, for getting around things. Third gear is used typically for climbing a hill, for getting over something, for getting up that hill, for getting over the top and down the other side. Fourth gear is all about the speed. Bring it on, baby. Fifth gear is when you just cruise. You lock that sucker in, you leave it be. And then there's another gear called reverse, for going backwards. Now, every single one of those gears that I mentioned to you have a purpose. And spiritually, every single one of those gears inside your life also has a purpose. There's a time when you have to be in first. Sometimes we don't like it because we have to slow down. We have to lessen our speed. And we have to increase our prayer force. And we have to increase our guts and our determination. And we have to kind of put our head down and our hand to the plow. And we have to put a little bit more sweat and force involved. And we just have to slow down in running ahead. There's times in your marriage when you have to go into first gear. We need to stop running around everywhere. We need to pull back and we need to put some force into this marriage. We need to put some time into this marriage. We need some prayer into this marriage. We need to stop running around. We need to pull the speed back and put some more force into it. There's times in the church when you need a second gear maneuvering to happen. We've got to maneuver this situation. We have to maneuver the traffic. We have to maneuver the system. We have to maneuver the process. All of them have a process and all of them have a place, and God needs you to find a grace for every gear. You know, it says in Proverbs 24, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? You could read it this way. If you stall your car in times of trouble, how bad are your gears? Some of us are stalling. We go so far and then we pull out. I'm not sure I like that. We go so far and then I just can't make that transition. I just can't maneuver. I'm not sure I can reach. I'm not sure I can go that fast. But inside of you, in God, there's a gearbox that wants to go that fast, can maneuver, can get up the hill. It's the Spirit of God. Inside of you, he's like, no, in me, there is that ability. In me, there is that gear. You just haven't found it yet. There's a story in 1 Kings 19 that illustrates this really well. It's a well-known story to many of us, but I find in this, with this thinking, a man of God that has a gear change moment. He doesn't know that's what it is, but he's about to be shown, no, you have a gear shift inside your life. You need to use it. And in 1 Kings 19, we read the story of the prophet, the man of God, Elijah. Now, Elijah has just come from a season of fifth gear, baby, all the way. I mean, talk about being in top gear mode. He had outrun a chariot. He had called down fire. He'd embarrassed the people that worship false gods. I mean, he was the man. He was in top gear. And so it's fascinating, isn't it, that we find him only a few verses later in a place that's a very different place. In a place that's quite dark, in a place that's almost stalled. It's like he's stalled the engine of his life. And in verse 9 it says the word of the Lord came to him. As he's lying under a tree, he's quit. He's stalled his engine, like some of you in here may have found yourself under a tree. In a period of your life where you're not sure you can keep going. I'm not sure I'm up for the next chant. I mean, I got in the building, I'm part of the church, but now you're talking about Japan. Hello? It's a long way away, Pastor. I mean, you know, we're having Joyce, but then there's that a conference too. And then we're Servolution. And now we've got more doors than we've got ushers. And now you're talking about kids. And you know, I just went full on. I mean, I outran the chariot to get us here. You know, I gave and I ran hard to be part of this. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to lie down under a tree for a while. Because I think I paid for it. I'm just going to have a little sleep. I'm just going to stall. I'm just going to slow down. I mean, you know, I feel that's what needs to happen. And as he's lying there, stalled, the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Like some of you need to hear the voice of God saying, "Hello, what are you doing here?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. I've been so zealous for you, God. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars and they've put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too." See, when you stop your momentum and you stall the engine of your life, things become way out of perspective. Everything is way bigger. The problem's way bigger. Your perspective when you're stalled is very different than when you're moving. And the Lord said, "All right, we're going to have a little lesson here in how to change gears. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now remember, Elijah has been going full on. But God is trying to show him in this moment that I don't just speak full on. I don't just do full on. I do all kinds of gears. And see, I want you to know tonight, if you're visiting this church or if you've just started coming along and you're curious, you could also have that feeling of, you know what, this is just a little bit full on. I'm a little bit freaked out right now. This is a little bit full on. You know what I want to tell you? Don't worry. God has gears. And he'll take you at the gear that you're in right now. And he'll teach you how to go from first into second. And he won't force it. And he won't grind you. He'll teach you like a good driving instructor would teach you. And you'll find a purpose for every gear, and you'll find a purpose, and it won't be long before you're the one that's like full on. And other people are like, "Whoa, you scare me." And you'll be like, "Don't worry, I do first gear too. I do third gear in my prayer closet. I do second gear when I'm in the kids' church. But in worship, I've just found a gear in God. It doesn't have to be one way. Just needs to be his way." And so God says, "Go out. I know you've been running. I know you've been overdriving. I know you've stalled. I'm going to pass you by." Then there was a great and powerful wind that tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. That would be fifth gear. But this time the Lord was not in the wind. God's taking him down the gears. So let's drop it down to fourth. After that, fourth gear, after the wind, the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Let's drop it down a little bit lower. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Down to first. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then God begins the conversation all over again from first gear. Because God knows you've stalled. And I'm not going to make you go from nothing to fifth. I'll kill you. It's too much. But what I will do is I'll take you back down the gear shift of your life. I'll get you back to first. And now I'm going to speak to you from first, from startup mode, from ignition mode. So he starts the conversation again with his whisper. What are you doing here, Elijah? I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Check out the next gear move. The Lord said to him, reverse. Go back the way you came. You know, I've preached, maybe you've heard messages that we should never go into reverse. But I want to add a little rider to that. Because there's some times in life where God asks you just to go back to collect something. There's some times in life where God goes, I'm going to move you forward, but you just need to revert. Back up. You missed something. Back up. You missed what this was all about. Back up. You forgot to bring that plunder with you into your future. Back up. Maybe you've been in this church a long time. Maybe this has always been your church. Maybe God's got you in a season of backing up to remind you what this is all about. We just backed up in communion just for a moment. Say, hey, hey, hey. Don't go into neutral. Don't go into autopilot. Don't stick yourself in cruise. Back up. Get the truth of what we're doing. And then we'll go into gear. Sometimes when you change an environment, just like when Elijah had changed his environment, God goes, we're just going to go through some gears here. We're going to get this car running right. We're going to get the engine of your life running right. I love that about God. I love that he didn't look at Elijah and go, that is so pathetic. I have no use for you anymore. I'm going to get a new vehicle. I love that he said, this has got a start in it. This can go again. This can drive further. This can go harder. So, Elijah, back up. Go back the way you came. And then he begins to show him the next gears. And then you're going to go to the desert. And when you get there, first gear, you're going to anoint the king over Aram. Then second gear, you're also going to anoint Jehu, king over Israel. And then third gear, you're going to anoint a guy called Elisha from Abel. And he's going to be fifth gear, succeed you as a prophet. And the rest, we know the story of how he went and found his successor. And they walked together through several gear changes in leadership. And Elijah, the older, wiser, began to teach Elisha how to change gears in life, how to leave his mum and dad and become a man of God, how to step up to his responsibility, how to make sure that he reversed back and said bye to the family to move forward into his future. And the older driving instructor began to teach the younger driving student about the gear shifts inside God. Every season, everything that we do in God, there is a purpose for your gears. There is a purpose for first. There is a purpose for second. There is a purpose for third. There is a purpose for fourth, fifth, and reverse. But you have to trust God in your life. I don't know what the transition of the last few months has meant to you. But I'll guarantee you something. It's challenging your stick shift. It's challenging your internal gears. Even the space of the new venue challenges you. The bigness, the vision, the possibility challenges your internal gearbox. Can I get my gear for this next season? Can I find the gear for this next project? Have I got the right gear? Am I in the right gear? Have you ever got on the freeway behind someone driving really, really slow? And you're behind them and everything about it is wrong. And you're like, you should not have been given a license. This is the speed you go down your driveway. You are on a freeway. Hello? I don't want my life spiritually to be going at such a slow speed when God goes, here's your freeway. You know what? That was good for the drive, but this is now freeway. So please don't come on the freeway and slow everybody up because you won't change gear. Don't get on the freeway with your slow gear expecting all the other traffic to come to the same place in gears as you. No, what you need to do is move into a lane and begin to work on your gear changes. You know, we're not kicking you off the freeway. We're just saying, go over to that lane over there and start to work through your gears. Start to get up from first and get yourself in second and get yourself in third. You know, there's room for everybody in God's house. There's room for those of you in here who just feel your life is reverse. But when you get around the things of God and you read the word of God, he begins to teach you how to change with the Holy Spirit. Jesus did gears. Jesus did gears. He'd go and he'd sit down. Bring the whole thing down to second gear. And he'd call a kid, put the kid on his knee, play horsey horsey. Whilst everyone's like, Jesus, should be in fifth gear. I mean, where's the firebolts? Where's the excitement? Where's this big man of faith and power? Oh, he's playing horsey horsey with the kids. Jesus had gears. He said, watch me, because you need to learn how to have a second gear for people like this. I'm not impressed by you being in fifth all the time. I need to know if you've got a second when you need it. I don't need to hear how awesome your fourth is if what's required right now is third. Sit with kids on his knee. Then he'd get up, go into the house of God, and boy, fifth gear. Turn the tables over, shout at those that were in his house, God's house, using it for the wrong reason. I mean, it was a fifth gear moment, but how many of you glad he didn't stay in fifth gear? Hello? See, every gear has its purpose. Every gear has a place. Some of us, we just want first gear Jesus, and that's all we want. Well, no, that's not even biblical. Jesus would go to people's lives that were in third, on an uphill struggle, battling illness, death, brokenness. And he didn't go in and go, here I am, fifth gear man. He'd go and weep with them. He'd go and talk with them. And then he'd show them how to change gears. The Holy Spirit is your internal guide. He's the oil in your engine. And we have to be open enough to God, some of us to go back to driving school. Lord, do I need to go back and take a reminder of how to drive my life? Have I got stuck in the same gear? Am I in neutral? Lord, I want to navigate. Joseph had a gear for a pit. He had a gear for a prison. And he had a gear for a palace. Daniel had a gear for when he was serving and a gear for when he was sleeping on a lion's mane. The disciples sometimes all had different gears all at once. Imagine that nightmare. Jesus turns around. Okay, boys. Thomas is like, second gear. Not sure. Don't know if I can maneuver this because my big doubts are in the way. But I'm trying. Judas in another gear. Peter in another gear. But I believe Jesus taught those boys how to navigate that internally inside them. One time he said to them, look, not everywhere you go is going to like you. Find a gear for it. Some people are going to slam the door in your face. I can't afford for that to make you stall. So take the slam door, change gear, back up, and go back into first. Maybe right now you need to find a gear for transition. Maybe right now you need to find a gear to lift your life of commitment and serving to another level. Maybe some of you need to go back to first to remember what it's like to be a new believer. Then you wouldn't walk past them all the time. Because you'd remember the gear and how difficult it is to start something new and be in something new and be around something new and not know where anything was or what anybody was or why are we doing what we're doing. You need to go back maybe and remember the different gears that God operated for in your life. And my prayer tonight for this house is that there will be such a smooth transition in the stick shift of this church. That there will be a wisdom that is divine on the leadership of this house of what gear. And there will be an ease and not a grinding in any of your lives of the gears. Right now, some of you are going through horrendous things. And I want to say to you, God has a gear for you. A gear where his grace is so strong and a tenacity can arise up in you in the spirit. And a gear where you just go, man, this is hard, but I'm going to find third and I'm going to get up this hill. There's a gear where that force and speed balance out. And if you're here tonight and you're weary and you're grinding, I want to take the grind out of your life. I believe God wants to help you like he did with Elijah. Say, look, it doesn't need to be like this. It's not as bad as you think. We can start this baby back up again. I'm going to ask the keyboard player and the band to come back up. Because God's here tonight for a reason. He's always amongst his people for the reason. He's here to help us live our life with a smoothness, even though it's difficult. You know, one time he said to the barren woman, I know you're barren, but there's a gear. It's called singing. I know that might not make sense, but I need you internally to put yourself in the gear of where you want to go, in the gear of what you believe, in the gear of what is ahead of you. Maybe you are barren in your circumstance. Maybe you're barren relationally. Maybe for you tonight, you are grinding and you just can't seem to find your fit. You've kind of lost your bearings. You've lost your way. You're not really sure. Maybe you're under a tree spiritually. And tonight for you, God's not shouting. He's not loud. He's the still, small voice. Maybe as part of this church family, you've moved into a new open place. And maybe you thought that your job was done. And God's saying, no, there's a whole freeway ahead that I want to navigate with you. The best adventures, the best challenge. There's going to be some hills. There's going to be some maneuvering. There's going to be some sailing down the freeway. But I put inside you, HPC, gears. And I'm in every gear. And I'm the oil in the engine.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.